direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
We are so very thankful that you have tuned in to Abounding Grace Radio today. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, and this week on Abounding Grace, we are going to the Gospel of John and looking at this wonderful prologue in the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John. In those verses, you know this well-known beginning verse, this well-known statement by John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word." That is what we are unpacking this week today on Abounding Grace, looking at the riches of the glory of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John has been said to be God's love letter to the world. Luther said, "This is a unique, tender, genuine chief gospel. Should a tyrant succeed in destroying the Holy Scriptures and only a single copy of the Epistle to the Romans and the Gospel of John escaped him, Christianity would be saved." John, the Gospel of John, just how special is the Gospel of John? In fact, this Gospel in the Greek is the simplest section given to explain the most profound truths given in the Scriptures. John chooses the simplest of words and explains divine truth so that the littlest of children can understand it, and yet it's so utterly profound and its depths so great that even the best of scholars cannot master it. The deeper we go, more and more is put on display in remarkable ways the person and the work of Jesus Christ. In fact, that is what this book, this gospel, is all about. I want to begin this week in looking at John chapter 1, verse 1, to raise the single purpose of the book, where he says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." When we put together this grand truth with something that John says at the end of the gospel in chapter 20, we get to the heart of what this gospel is all about. He says that truly, chapter 20, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. Anything more glorious than that? It's a gospel of belief. In other words, it's a gospel of absolute assurance that what one believes about Jesus Christ, what you think of Jesus Christ, how you know Jesus Christ, what sort of bearing his person and work has upon you, is the absolute assurance that in him you have eternal life. It's the greatest question, dear radio listener, that we could possibly ask. Just what do you believe about Jesus Christ? What do you believe concerning the Christ? The author is the Apostle John, and this meant so much to him that Christians would have absolute confidence and absolute certainty about their salvation in Jesus Christ. John said this very thing again in his little epistle we call 1 John. In 1 John 5, verse 11, we read, "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." So this was the burden of the Gospel of John, that there is life in Jesus Christ, God the Son. And all these things are recorded about Jesus Christ in the gospel that we may know that we have eternal life in him. John says, "I write these things to you that you may know that, that believers in Jesus may know that." Now, what's interesting is that the other time he says, "I write these things to you," John says, "It is that your joy may be full." So in other words, a right understanding of who Jesus Christ is and believing in his name undoubtedly is connected to a joy-filled life. That is the inevitable consequence of truly believing and knowing Jesus Christ. Now, I see today a lot of people in Christianity who are not joyless, but live with little assurance, and you know they are flat-out miserable people. John's gospel is given with the goal of changing that. John emphasizes something so important for us to know about Jesus Christ. I write these things to you that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That knowledge, you see, affects our assurance and it affects the Christian's joy. In other words, John's gospel is focused on the divinity of the Son. If you were to break down the gospel, the major goal, let's say, of the gospel of Matthew is to show you Jesus as the true king. Mark's intention or his goal is to show Jesus as the servant of Isaiah, fulfilling the mission given in power. Luke emphasizes the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. But John is altogether different, isn't it? John takes us and is a heavenly gospel, taking us right into the Holy of Holies, if you will. Because it takes us to the divine Son. It takes us to the face of Jesus Christ, to where we see the glory of God. Remember, throughout the Old Testament, no man could see God and live. And yet Christ in human flesh, that it is there in him that we see the one in whom dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is why this book is so connected to assurance. Knowing this about Jesus Christ, that he is indeed the Son of God, which means that he is fully divine, that crucial truth of what we believe concerning him has a direct bearing on your understanding of what it means to have life and to know it. And I want to challenge us up front this morning to the radio listeners that if John, the Gospel of John, tells us that his purpose is that you would know Jesus Christ to the degree of absolute certainty of eternal life, that you know you have life, may know that you have life in his name, is that true of you? Do you have this real joy? Have you believed in this Jesus to know him so as to have joy and assurance that your life has been transformed and bought by the Son of God? John is asking this grand question up front, and what a question for our radio listeners. Just what are you doing with Jesus Christ? What do you believe concerning the Christ? John is going to now show us in this gospel two kinds of responses to that truth. You see, I really believe that such certainty and joy in this knowledge directs your whole life and it directs your actions. The key evidence that such a truth is known is a joyless, complaining life, one that has yet to know what it is to be freed from the darkness. Remedy to that is what John does. He introduces you to Jesus Christ in a way like no other author does in the Gospels. Paul understood this, I believe, of Christ, of what he learned from the Gospel of John when he said, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In other words, God's glory is shown in the person of Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we go through the Gospel of John and as in the weeks to come, that you would meet him in that glory as you see the face of God in Jesus Christ. So here is John. Here is the Apostle John. He's an old man at this point. Tradition has it that John was written around AD 90, so many years now removed from the presence of Christ after Christ had ascended after the resurrection. And Jesus filled John's heart. Jesus filled his thoughts. So many years now he's thinking upon him and he sits down with this pen, the Spirit bringing to mind everything that he ever treasured and understood and was taught about Jesus Christ. John was enraptured with him. You'll notice in the book that he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. That love that John received from Jesus Christ drove John all of his days to think upon Christ, to meditate upon Christ, to observe Christ, for it was in the face of Jesus Christ that John saw the glory of God. And that's where he begins. The first 18 verses of the Gospel of John are known as the prologue. And how profound they are. Let's look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You read that, and you can't help but ask the question, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? And just how important a question is that? Because the quality of your life and your existence here on earth, or your eternal destiny, and what a statement that is, your eternal destiny is dependent upon how you answer this question. A question that Jesus was constantly raising throughout his earthly ministry. What do you think about the Christ? What do you believe concerning Jesus Christ? And it's the very first thing that John answers. He begins with the divinity of Jesus Christ. He says three things about that divinity, Jesus' divinity, Jesus being truly God. Let's look at them. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a statement, isn't it? You really have to understand what he means by Word. It's the Greek word logos. And in verse 14, he openly says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So there, it's clear that the Word here is Jesus Christ. But why does John call him the Logos, the Word? Well, for the Jews, when you had throughout the Old Testament, the Logos, the Word mentioned, they understood that to be as the direct expression of the will of God. And so you would have many statements like, thus saith the Lord. And when the Lord spoke, it was as good as done. To the Greeks, it was interesting that the Logos was this principle that controls the power of the universe or even of the mind. John comes along and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit says that the Logos is eternal. But guess who it is? Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling, that we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in other words, they understood what John was saying. It's in the face of Jesus Christ that we find the full revelation of God himself. In other words, if they understood the Word to be the expressed will of God, think of what John is saying. It's in Jesus Christ that God is revealed. It's in him that we see the wisdom and power of God. Jesus is fully God. And that's the confession. That's what we understand. Hebrews says, God at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus is that Word. And what John 1 tells us is that in the beginning, before anything that was made, Jesus was. Jesus always was. And he was in the face of God with his Father. And the Word, the Logos, was God. Jesus Christ is true and eternal God. We're going to see how important that revelation is this week. What you believe about Jesus Christ directly correlates to our salvation. Jesus Christ is true God. Bounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are worship service times on Sundays. We invite you to join us to come and drink deeply from the Word of God as we exposit the Scriptures to you. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.